CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. We're alive and we have nothing to apologize for.
Welcome to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm your host, John Dick, and I'm here with community nutritionist Mary Jane Eason to discuss topics of healthy living, what's going on in our community, as well as other interesting things in this hour-long show. On Wooden Spoons, we meet with relevant guests to discuss today relevant information and what's going on in the community, as well as other interesting things in this hour-long show. On Wooden Spoons, we recognize all things interrelated or are related, and with learning and awareness, we connect the dots and make up our world. Time right now is 8:02 a.m. and temperature outside is 19 degrees Celsius. Good morning, Mary Jane.
Good morning, John. It's going to be a nice day today. We've been having some very, very lovely weather.
Yeah, true. It's going to get pretty hot tomorrow, so yeah. I hear. I'm actually going to Pinawa that weekend as well, so that should be fun.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we're in July, and I think July and August tend to be the hottest months of the year, especially August. I don't know why, but it's just that the heat, the world, the climate is just heating up in the summer, and it's nice that we aren't having that cold spell that we had earlier in the spring. And so, anyway, I'd like to make the acknowledgement statement that we are located on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional land and waters of the Innu Cree, the Anishinaabe, Anishinaabe Ojibwe Cree, Dakota and Dene people, as well as the birthplace of the Métis Nation and the heart of the Métis homeland. We also acknowledge the Shoal Lake No. 40 First Nation and its territory for our life-giving water. Yeah, so this morning, I'm just going to introduce our guest shortly. I hope that she's on. Our guest is Marg Friesen, a return guest. And I will be talking to Marg about some information pertaining to some of the things with the 5G issues and how that is affecting us and how we need to address the rules that they have about cell towers that are putting up throughout the country and throughout Winnipeg, and some issues of concern. And so we'll be talking to Marg shortly. And that's going to be for the first part of our program. And also the second part of the program, we will probably we'll have a recipe and just some general information, what's going on in our community and so on. So on that note, do we have our guest here? Is Mark on air?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Good morning.
I can't hear. Maybe we need to put it up a little bit.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
A little bit higher.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Yes, I was concerned about reaching you, Mark, because I there was a phone number attached to the last email, last interview I had with you. And when I called that number, apparently it was not you.
No, there is a problem there, so it should be corrected. I did send an email to put the corrected number, phone number.
Okay, thank you, because then this person phoned me, and he was quite annoyed with the whole thing, and I apologized. I had no idea that I was not getting the right number. Anyway, I'm glad that we got that you're looking after that, Marg. Anyway, I will just introduce you. Mark Friesen has a Master of Science degree, and she is a retired research biologist with the federal government. Is a retired research biologist with the federal government at the University of Manitoba. Now, Mark experienced electromagnetic sensitivities and at her workplace, and was on disability leave for 3 years before returning to work with accommodation for these symptoms. And the getting the diagnosis for these, I have it as EHS symptoms. It was no easy task. Is that the right designation? What does the EHS stand for, Mark?
There's an electromagnetic, very often it's called environmental sensitivities. It's one of the conditions that's under the environmental sensitivities label or name, which is a policy under the Canadian Human Rights Commission. So there's a policy on environmental sensitivities. And this name is similar, and the abbreviation is similar. It's electromagnetic hypersensitivity. It's basically people who are sensitive to electrical devices like cell phones, Wi-Fi, radiation from cell towers. And it can be also to the lower, those are the higher frequencies, those are the radio frequencies. Individuals can also be allergic to, I call it an allergy, it's not really an allergy, but you could kind of compare it in some ways to being an allergy. And to lower frequencies such as the high tension power lines, the motors that are found in fridges and in stoves, the high electrical, the voltage in the just a regular stove. So regular devices as well. So basically anything electrical. Now what you have to realize is their body is electrical. Like when people first hear about this, it seems rather odd, but then when you start to think about it, we operate on electricity. If we take the electricity out of our bodies, then we will die, and that's the spark of life. And whenever you've got electricity, electromagnetic fields, and they're moving, then magnetic fields are generated, and this is just true across the board, and that's why the long label electromagnetic sensitivities. But if you break it up, that's what that's about. And then just as a shortcut, we call it EHS. It's for electro hyper, so the people are, everybody's electrically sensitive. Everybody.
Okay.
Some people be affected more than others. So then the hyper part comes in there, so electromagnetic hypersensitivity.
Okay, that clarifies that designation for me, because I thought, well, it should be really EMS, but as you're explaining, it's electric hypersensitivity. It sounds like the appropriate way of designating it. And anyway, and I know, Mark, that you had we're going to be joining. You'll be joining us to talk about the sweeping changes being made by the organization called ISED, which stands for Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada. Now, this is an issue of great concern for people and the natural world. And so I'd like to welcome you to our radio program this morning, Marg.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And I understand that on June 30th, a meeting was called to address the sweeping changes being put forward by the Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada, known as ISED for short. So would you identify those changes and highlight the concerns about these changes?
Right. So Innovation, Science, Economic Development Canada is a federal government department. And they oversee the, are responsible for the infrastructure for wireless devices such as cell phones and cell towers and things of that sort. So they are the ones that oversee these antennas, which are required for people to get signals on their cell phones and other wireless devices. So what does when they want to make some changes, as do other federal government departments, is they have public consultations. So the ISED is now having public consultations about changes that they're proposing to make to a document, which is a circular, a client procedure circular, called CPC 2-03, and that is has to do with, that's what the telecommunications companies, the proponents of cell towers, follow when they're proposing a new tower or a new, and in some cases, antennas. So what they're doing is they're proposing changes. This was established many, many years ago. There was a very big study done when, I think the circular was established before this, but certainly was updated, the telecommunications companies. So we're talking about Bell, Rogers, Telus, and many others. Those are the three big ones that, you know, they wanted some guidance on what to do. And so David Townsend, who he's retired now, a law professor out of the University of New Brunswick, was tasked with doing a public consultation. So he and his team, and there were academics on his team, there's also an advisory committee that was appointed. They did interviewed people across Canada, interviewed the telecommunications company, looked to see what the other countries were doing, and eventually came up with a 250-page report with 34 recommendations, which basically now the current CPC 2003 is based on. So now what they're proposing to do is they're proposing to make changes to that. And that's something that we are very, very concerned about.
Okay. So based on their research and they're doing, what are the things that they are wanting to do? And would you want to, what are those concerns that you would like to tell us about?
Okay, well, they fall into three broad categories. And one is, and these are sweeping. Like, basically, the bottom line is, I'm gonna you know, answer your question in more detail, but basically what they're doing is they're handing over responsibility and the power to the telecommunications companies on these cell towers. So what there are basically... with very little oversight. So, but basically, the questions, there are 11 questions, which are under, forget now, about 40 paragraphs. Basically, what they would lead to is they would reduce public participation. So all the, right now, The consultation is run by the proponent, the telecommunications company or the third party that wants to put up a tower. They're the ones right now who are responsible for holding a public consultation. And they put a sign up at the proposed site. This is for the taller towers. They put a sign up at the proposed site. They notify people with written communications, hard copies, or people within three times height of the tower. And in many cases, there's also an ad in the newspaper. Well, they want to replace that with just putting one sign in front of, and when I say they, I mean I said, this is in part of their recommended changes, or proposed changes, rather, and they're going to place it with one sign. So if there's just not one sign, you know, if people don't walk by it, they're not going to know about it.
That's right.
And on that sign will be information, which would include contact information for where they can get more information. And what they're going to do is they're going to go through a portal. They're going to set up an online portal where people can go on and find out the details of what's being proposed. Limited, by the way, so they don't get all of the information, but they can ask questions. The questions, by the way, the proponents are only, this is another huge change. It used to be that others could participate. So, you know, if there were experts in the field, then they could also participate in this public consultation. They're cutting it down that they're only required to respond to people who are within three times height of the tower, which in some cases is not a lot. And of course, the people who are just outside of that, you know, they can be affected as well, including having to look at this tower, which will be coming up like really very close to them. So the conversation is going to be funneled through this online portal. I mean, we're concerned because there will be, you know, people with, let's say, vision, who are vision impaired, who will not be able to see the sign. You know, people may not realize the significance if they're getting something in their mailbox. You know, they'll read it, whereas here, you know, they might glance at the sign. So, you know, that is definitely going to be limited. They also are going to have a predetermined list of acceptable concerns, and amongst those acceptable concerns is excluded health concerns.
So health concerns is not considered as an acceptable concern?
Well, what they don't want to take any questions on that. All they're going to say is Health Canada Safety Code 6. They follow Health Canada Safety Code 6. Which I think in most cases, but not all. I mean, we need, you know, if you get a lot of towers and a lot of antennas, it could exceed Safety Code 6 limits. But, I mean, this is what we have been working on for years now, is to get Safety Code 6 properly updated with the latest science. And the group I work with a lot is Canadians for Safe Technology. And we've been working very hard to try to get Safety Code 6 revised. Safety Code 6 is based on 6 minutes of heating. And if the body tissue doesn't increase by one degree, more than one degree in 6 minutes, it's considered safe. So there's a whole bunch of science, hundreds of high-quality study, and many others besides that, which, you know, for one reason or another may have a flaw in them, but there are actually literally thousands of studies which indicate adverse effects. And Health Canada to date has said, not good enough. The science isn't good enough, which is really now... We have to really, really question that, because should I go on about this? Are you interested, or do you want to go back to the cell tower issue? Should I talk about health or about cell towers and the proposed changes?
You know, this is an extremely difficult topic, and most people haven't got a clue what it's about. I mean, really,
let me just tell you a little bit here, a little bit more about the health. So the World Health Organization commissioned some literature reviews, and that's what a lot of authorities will look at is these reviews and meta-analyses that are conducted. So there were 10 outcomes they looked at, and one of them was cancer, another one was reproduction. These reviews found that
What was the second one you mentioned besides cancer?
Fertility and sperm, effects on sperm, male sperm. And and one of the Health Canada scientists is a co-author on the cancer study, and what they found was that there is high certainty of evidence linking exposure of radio frequency radiation, which is what comes out of cell towers and cell phones. And there's high certainty of the evidence between exposure and cancer in animals. And yet, Canada says there's no risk. And we know that the World Health Organization's International Agency on Research on Cancer has already classified this agent as a possible carcinogen. And that was based on mostly human studies. And now here are the animal studies to support that. So it should actually, you know, they do want to, it's on the list to be high priority for evaluation. And they are supposed to be reevaluating it. And with all of this new evidence, it should be bumped up to at least a probable and maybe even a known carcinogen. So here, Canada is proposing what ICID is proposing, the end result will result in many more cell towers across the country. We already have more than 50,000 cell towers across Canada. And, of course, those have antennas which have transmitters in them, and they have more than 2 million transmitters in them. So we're already inundated with this technology, and now what ICID is proposing is basically opening up the floodgates for the telecommunications to put up even more. And if somebody wants another dot to connect to this, of course, are the data centers. So these data centers are coming up to collect all of the data. So, you know, they're going to be collecting all this data. A lot of our devices like fridges, stoves, the doorbell, the toothpaste, the toothbrush even, will have sensors in them. Well, where is that all that data going? Well, it's going through the cell towers to the data centers. And so do we really need to have a good quality of life, I guess, is sort of the bottom line on this. And how reliant are we becoming on the technology?
It's a good thing you're talking about cancer. And cancer used to be a very rare thing. I mentioned this before. In my grandmother's time, I didn't know her at all. She died of cancer, but it was very, very rare. People early in the century, I remember when I was told when they were bringing my grandmother to the hospital in Winnipeg that they couldn't find a place for her. People feared cancer, so they didn't want anybody in their place. When my aunt brought her to a place so that she could stay, they had to wash down the walls before they left. That's how scared people were, because cancer was so... it was very unknown at the time, and now it's everywhere. So there was a time when cancer was extremely rare, and so I think we should be very concerned about this rise in cancer. Children are getting cancer, and this is, you know, just unseen in times before.
Right. Well, it's not just this radiation. I mean, radio frequency radiation, which is what, you know, what's coming out of cell tower antennas, it's part of an electromagnetic spectrum. And on the shorter wavelengths is where we have X-rays. And we know X-rays cause cancer. So is taking much longer to establish is that the lower frequencies, if light is one of them as well, by the way, these lower frequencies also have biological impacts, and that is affecting our human bodies. I mean, we're electrical. We're introducing all of this other electrical agent into our environment, and it can work synergistically, can have synergistic effects. So, I mean, we're basically living in a very toxic world now, if you include all of the pesticides, all of the heavy metals, all of the pollution, basically, which wasn't there in your grandmother's day. And then you add something like this radiation, there are impacts there that we have not even, you know, touched on in terms of scientific research. So we've got a lot of work to do. It's not just the radio frequency we need to clean up. There's lots of other things in the environment that we need to clean up. And people are just, they're addicted to the convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And so with processed foods and things like that, you know, it's so much easier just to do that than to make stuff from scratch. So,
mm-hmm.
So the programs like yours are very important because they, you know, take people back to the kitchen and, okay, you can make this. You know, you don't have to necessarily buy it in the frozen food section. You can make it.
Well, I have to. You're listening to CQW 95.9 FM. And this is Wooden Spoons, and I'm here with John Dick, a co-host. John, do you have any comments or questions?
Yeah. Could you, like, elaborate more on what the data centers are doing? Like, is it, and, like, well, actually, I'm going to get up and ask another question instead. It seems like electromagnetic radiation keeps getting worse from like 4G to 5G to maybe they're going to release 6G to accommodate this AI data center stuff. Do you see like any possibility where you can do 6G that emits less electromagnetic radiation instead of more but still works better on phones, or would that be realistic or possible?
Well, I'm not really up on the technology, but one thing we have to realize is that the different, so these electromagnetic waves have different lengths. And when you're talking about 6G, and it certainly is true with 5G, so they're moving into using shorter wavelengths because they carry more data. The lower wavelengths, 0.9, and I forget now, about 2 gigahertz they're already taken up. Like, there's so much demand that they're already being used, and now they have to go to more to get so they can carry more data. So the problem is that these shorter wavelengths don't go through obstacles as much, so they don't go well through concrete walls or through wooden walls that we have in our homes. And so what they need is they need to put the antennas closer to where the devices are. So that's why they need to have these many more antennas. Now we have small antennas, so-called small. Like they're about as big as pizza boxes. Some are actually smaller, which are coming up in people's back lanes across Winnipeg. And because, according to CPC 2003, they don't have to tell the public about it because they're non-tower structures, we're getting those popping up everywhere. Now, the other thing to be concerned about is that they're also using new technologies. So there's something called massive MIMO, and I hope you look that one up. So massive, it's multiple input, multiple output, and also beam-forming arrays. So what they're going to do, instead of broadcasting, they're broadcasting towers, but let's just say that the cell tower antennas, they emit, but they emit broadly. You know, they're not really specific. What the 5G will do, and I assume the 6G will be as well, because it'll go up even higher into the electromagnetic spectrum with even shorter wavelengths, is that they'll be beam forming, and we haven't really got an idea of how that's measured, what effects it'll have. It'll concentrate, like if you have a phone with 5G, then it'll concentrate on that phone. So there'll be a beam from, you know, the antenna going right to that phone. When there's not the 5G available or there's a poor signal, then it'll go back to 4G or 3G. So we don't really understand that technology and the impacts have gotten. There have been no studies. In fact, Health Canada did its own review, and they, for this, for 6 gigahertz and above, so we're talking, you know, the 5G technologies, and they found that there were no studies on cancer, cognitive effects, reproductive effects. There were no studies conducted on humans. They just had some short-term temperature studies that they based these new guidelines on. So we're really going into untested territory. Not only are these wavelengths haven't been studied in detail, is we also don't know about the new technologies and what impact they'll have. So what happens if somebody is between the cell phone that somebody is using with 5G and the antenna? You know, they're really getting a huge dose of that type of radiation.
This is totally reckless, absolutely. And at your meeting on June the 30th, 2026, a petition to the Prime Minister of Canada and the Minister of Industry to protect local voices, transparency, and accountability in cell tower decisions was put forward. So would you elaborate on this petition and the need to bring it forward?
Right. So we had a look at these changes that ICED is proposing. And we talked a little bit about public consultation. The other thing of concern is they're also going to limit the consultation or the methods for our local council, for the local municipalities, which are called land use authorities. And what they're going to do with the chat with this that particular process is they're going to 45 days to 120 days for land use authorities, such as our city council, to reply to the proponent. By the way, this doesn't even go to ICED. It has to go through the proponent on the online portal to object. And there are only predetermined questions that they can address mostly. They don't have to address some of the, you know, other concerns that might occur. And they have 45 days, which isn't really long enough, given our cycle of how often, you know, it's actually the city of Winnipeg goes through to the city planner, but a lot of other places go directly to the council. It's not enough time for them. And if they don't respond with a non-agreement or non-concurrence, the cell tower is automatically approved. So if for whatever reason happens is, you know, the land use authority, the local government, we'll call it local government, if they don't respond, it's just automatically approved, which is ridiculous. And even if they do, and if they do get it in and they don't agree or non-concur, then they have to have some reason, and we don't know what those reasons are yet. And if they're dismissed by, you know, the proponent says, no, we've addressed those adequately, also it can be automatically approved. And then if the council disagrees with that, they're the ones that have to go to the dispute resolution mechanism, whereas now either side, the proponent or the land use authority can go. So it's really been shifted. The burden has been shifted. This is part of the red tape review that the government is carrying on, where, you know, they want to cut regulations to make it easier for, you know, infrastructure to be built. But what they're basically doing is they're just opening the door for the telecommunications company. So what we did is we thought, you know, there's so many little things here that are not right. We had a look at that report that came out 20 years ago that David Townsend was author of, 250 pages, 34 recommendations. We said we should put a stop, we should ask for a stop, or we're calling it a pause, on what's happening with the consultation right now, and so that we can so a proper one can be carried out, so that I said can say, okay, the public has spoken, they want more input into the changes that we're proposing, and we're going to do a really comprehensive study. So the petition that was launched, and it was launched just a few days ago, it was launched on the 30th, actually, and we already have over 1,000 signatures. So the petition is actually, it's to Prime Minister Carney, and it's to Prime Minister Melanie Joly, and it's basically to pause the current consultation and establish an independent, comprehensive public review process. So that's what we're asking for, and we hope people will go on the Canadians for Safe Technology site. It's C4, the number 4, C as in Canada, 4, the number 4, ST for Safe Technology, .com. So if they go, .org. If they go on there, then they'll find information on the petition to have this whole process paused, because the deadline is actually coming up on Thursday, this coming Thursday, 16th of July.
So what is coming up on the 16th?
The deadline for people to submit comments.
Okay. So and they can do that by going on the website or C4ST.org?
People can put comments in directly to ICED, but there's certain things that you need to put in. You need to put in the number of the consultation and a bunch of other stuff. And, of course, there's a lot of issues here. So C4ST has drawn up a comprehensive guide, what's called a guide, to the different issues, and also instructions on how to fill it out, and then different points that people might want to bring up. So it's a useful resource for people who want to submit comments to ICED, is to go to the C4ST site.
Okay. Because that is, and as there's a deadline for that, and it's certainly something that we need to have time to pause and think about and understand. And I think I think due to the work you have done in the past, you have educated so many people, Marg, with different types of presentations and public exposure. I know we used to meet at Vimy Ridge Park at some points in time, and so this is an important issue. It's a very difficult issue. I can't get my head around it.
And no, it is. I know. And when we started working on the consultation, it's so confusing. It's not very long, but it's very confusing. So it took us a long time to figure out what's going on, because they have 11 questions, but the 11 questions don't cover all of the different things that they're proposing to change. And then somebody emailed ICED and said, you know, what else is there that might be changed in this circular? And basically everything is up on the table. Like, there could make other changes. So this does not go through the House of Commons. This does not go through Parliament. They can just go and make these changes, which have huge implications for the people who live right beside these towers. Mm-hmm. We should have our say in what is going on in our communities, which brings up the smaller towers. So there are they're proposing now. So right now the big, if it's used for commercial purposes, basically, then it has to go through ICED, and people within three times height of the tower have to be notified. For ham radio operators, amateur radio operators, that does not apply. They can apparently put these towers up on their own. What they want to do is extend that that exemption to the telecommunications companies, and they're not going to keep any records.
Well, so, this is just BS, you know. I mean, how could this is careless. It's criminal. It has to be criminal. And the ISIS, when you said ICED, just reminding people, it stands for Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada.
And, right, and the minister of that is the Minister Jolie.
Melanie Jolie, is it?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so if this goes through, and they're also asking people if they should change the height of that tower, and so what does that mean? That means they probably want to raise it. So that means these towers can come up as long as they have a willing landlord. So a willing landlord means somebody who it's okay with them to put it on their property. And in some cases, they will purchase property. So they're the willing landowners. And these towers could go up anywhere, anytime, without us knowing and without, I said, keeping records.
Without records. So we should be contacting Melanie Jolie, a member of Parliament. We should be calling her.
Yes. So what we're asking people to do is, number one, sign our petition. When you sign the petition, and that's to pause the process and then have a proper study, when you sign it, there'll also be two little boxes there. One, if you check it, an email will go to your member of Parliament automatically. And the second one is for updates, so if you want to receive updates on what is happening. That's an easy thing to do. People can just go there and click on. The other thing is to contact their member of Parliament and to make a submission. And we need many people to make a submission. And basically, it's very simple to make, but you have to put the right title in the subject line of your email, and then you need to repeat something in your email itself. And that can be found on our site, on that site. And I've also got I've sent out another long email with instructions as well, that people can contact me if they like. Or you can contact questions at cforest.org or info@cforest.org, and then we will send you instructions how to do that. So that's what we'd like people to do. Number one, sign the petition. Number two, send in just a small little comment will do. This is not good enough. We need to restart the process and have a full public consultation, as was held 20 years ago, as was documented in what we call the Townsend Report. So that's kind of it. Then to contact the Member of Parliament, get on the social media and, you know, spread the word on this, because we've had very little time to do that. And
this is another careless thing. If you don't even have time to do it, it's delinquent, it's criminal, I would say. I would put that word to it, criminality.
Well, considering that you know, people's health, there's more than 40 studies, cell tower studies, which show adverse effects from living close to a cell tower. The science is there. Health Canada has not done one study, even though people have been telling them for years that they are affected. We have people who are ultra sensitive. I mean, we use the word hypersensitive. You could apply the term ultra sensitive, who have to live away from this radiation. And they're always concerned that the cell towers are going to be put up close to them. At the very least, they need to be informed that this is what's happening so that they can look for another spot. But, I mean, we have one individual, originally from Manitoba, who's now in Alberta, and she lives out of her van. And, she leads a nomadic life, trying to find a place with low radiation and low chemicals as well.
I think that we have talked to her. Is it we were talking about Marie LeBlanc?
That's right.
Yes.
She's got an excellent website, and and there's a video. She's gotten some awards through it, and it has to do with acknowledging, recognizing environmental sensitivities, because people with severe chemical sensitivities and electrical sensitivities, they need certain conditions where they can live. We literally have people living in the bush. Like, that camping can be fun. I love camp. But it's not fun and it's not glamorous when you have to do it year-round, especially in the winter. So it's a real challenge for a lot of people, and mm-hmm. health, just turning a blind eye.
Oh, I know. It's criminal. And Marie LeBlanc as you were saying, in the wintertime is too cold. She's able to go to Arizona, where there seems to be a group of people who share these sensitivities, and she's able to stay there in the wintertime. So this is something that's like sort of under the radar things that are happening to people, and Health Canada does not know about it. Health Canada is, I mean, this
Health knows about it. It's just they're ignoring us.
Well, then that's a criminality. You know, the word criminality is bold. It comes right out. And you have this petition that you,
yes.
There are many aspects to this petition.
Well, I mean, what we want to do is we want to preserve meaningful public participation. I mean, right now it's just going to be reduced to, you know, just a checkbox type of thing. So we want meaningful public participation. We want the municipality, the land use authorities, to have some power. Like right now, they can have some influence because they can say no. And very often, so far the department has been okay with that. But obviously, the telecommunications company has complained, and now basically that is going to be taken away. We need accessibility for all Canadians. You know, for the portal, like there are some people, for example, people who are electrosensitive, very electrosensitive, who don't use the internet, and they're, of course, going to be excluded from this if they ever see the sign. So that's the other thing, is you need to be able to see the sign. And talking about seeing, we also have vision-impaired people. So this brings up a barrier for people who have disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We need a transparent process. What happens is, ISED has, according to the proposed changes, is they're going to, once the consultation is finished, they're handing over the responsibility for keeping the records of these different communications to the proponent. They're not keeping any records. So that means they're also not accessible to the general public if they want to, mm-hmm. let's say, do an access to information request.
Well, that's
But if I said, we're going to ask the proponent, you know, to hand over these records that the proponent may not want. I think there are many, many issues on that score. So that's part of that transparency issue. So, yeah, there are all of these different issues. It's a very complicated, and we need definitely to have a very thorough look at what's happening. We need to have a thorough look at these different technologies and how really is Safety Code 6 the power density, so that's the one for cell towers is based on power density. How is that being measured? How can we be sure that once you concentrate a beam, that it remains under Safety Code 6 limits? So that information we don't have as well. So there's a lot of information that we don't have.
You're listening to CQW on Wooden Spoons, CQW 95.9 FM, and we're talking to Mark Friesen about the issues of cell towers and the lack of transparency and so on. And I know in the past there has been studies to show that these cell towers affect bee populations. They affect the butterflies and so on. So our insect population, I notice there's much less bumblebees than there ever were before. And that would have to do with the cell towers. And, you know, just the other day we found a monarch butterfly caterpillar on our plants in our yard, and we were so excited about that. But, you know, this is kind of a rare thing. I saw one butterfly this year, but, you know, I've been noticing the decline of bees, and so this is the sign that we should be, that this is a sign of something going wrong, and we should protect nature, because without nature, is our sustenance. Without that, we're done. So, anyway, yeah, this.
Yeah, nature is our, what I like to say, is our life support. Like, we need to take care of nature.
Yes.
Now, there are studies which show that bees and birds can be affected at the levels around cell tower antennas. So, there, you know, this could very well be the case. And I mentioned the synergism before, is it can work, you know, that may not be the factor, but it may contribute, be a contributing factor to all of the other stressors that are put on these populations. And, you know, we know that, you know, part of the problem is for the decline in insect species and many other species is habitat loss. And also climate change, the temperature's changing. Of course, insects are very dependent on temperature, so that could be a huge factor there. And pesticides, you know, are large as well. I mean, we just had City of Winnipeg spray, so it's not just the mosquitoes that were killed. It's probably a lot of other insects which were affected as well.
And yeah, so, I know.
And then when we throw in the mix, we throw in this radio frequency radiation, then, you know, whatever is affecting them could be made worse. And we're not studying that. We actually had a meeting with high level people at Environment Change. What's it called? ECCC, Environment Change Canada, and nobody is looking at this. They have no money devoted to looking at impacts on non-human species, on birds and bees, and no money and no people. Like, they're not even looking at this, which is astonishing.
Astonishing, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Well, Mark, I guess... we should have a, maybe do you have a song that you'd like to suggest we play? And I will be continuing on with a few other, with the recipe and a few things. But thank you very much for joining us this morning. And is there any way that, any message that you'd like to share?
Well, I think that, you know, if people could go on the Canadian Specific Technology site, so that's free, C4ST.org site, or they can email me at margf, so first four letters of my first name and then my first letter of my last name, margf.c4st@gmail.com. I'd be glad to send you some information on this. So thank you, Mary Jane, for taking on this very important topic.
Well, thank you so much, Marg. I really appreciate your contribution.
Okay, you're welcome.
Is there a song? We're still on. Oh, okay. Is there a song that you did? Have you got one?
She didn't give any requests, so...
Okay.
Well, I did. I sent in the Miracle of Love.
Oh, good.
Miracle. Love. Yeah,
oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be listening to that song and continue towards the end of our program as we're getting near the end.
Take away your pain. When the miracle of love. your fears. Tender is the one that wipes away your tears. There must be a bitter breeze to make you sting so viciously. They say the greatest coward can hurt the most ferociously. I'll show you something.
Run out of time this morning. I just want to mention that my daughter found a monarch butterfly caterpillar on our in our yard, which was exciting. Monarch butterflies live on milkweed, and also I just want to let you know that stinging nettles is the larval food plant for many important species, Manitoba species of butterflies. And I also encountered a red admiral. The other day, it flew and on around me. So I know there are a few butterflies around. It makes me happy to know that. Some of the other plants that are butterflies like are the Joe Pye weed, and they like the small flowers. So just want to end with a very quick recipe. I don't know if we have the time. But this is an easy carrot salad. You need to do 3 carrots peeled and grated, 1 stalk of celery sliced and cut into small pieces, 1 green onion sliced, 1 or 2 tablespoons of vinegar or to taste, sprinkling of sesame seed oil, salt and pepper to taste, and a sprinkling of sesame seeds or sunflower seeds. You place the grated carrots in a bowl, add the celery and green onion, add the remaining ingredients and stir. So it's a very simple recipe, and it's very flavorful. And on that note, I think we've come to the end of our radio program. Thank you, John, for being our co-host, and I wish to thank Marg for joining us this morning and sharing this vital information that we all should be concerned about. And hope that we can get some viable answers from the politicians.
You've been listening to Wooden Spoons on CKUW 95.9 FM, sponsored by Mary Jane's Cooking School. For the podcast of the show, please go to CKUW.ca, type Wooden Spoons in the search bar, and the show will be up in just a few hours. Till next time, this is John Dick and Mary Jane Eason saying bye for now, and thanks for listening.